Good evening. Welcome back to the show. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. Darkness Radio is on the air. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. Wow, Tim, do we have an update from last night's show?
Let's hear it.
This is breaking news.
Okay.
Like breaking news.
Like it's already been broke?
Well, I'm breaking it, baby.
All right.
Well, I didn't necessarily break it because it was already broken, but I'm letting it out now. It officially came out at 9:30 this evening. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Sold. 4 days after the Indianapolis Star broke a story about a mother who told public officials she was possessed by demons, the home in which she and her family once lived was purchased for $35,000.
That's it.
Zach Baggins, host and executive producer of Ghost Adventures on the Travel Channel, offered Wednesday to purchase the home on Carolina Street in Gary, part of a media frenzy that enveloped many of those connected to the case. Media outlets in more than a dozen countries have clamored for interviews with Latoya Ammons, her family, and others mentioned in the Star's report. The article chronicled Ammons' description of strange occurrences involving her and her three children and the government's response. Her tale spurred a series of exorcisms that a priest claims were the first authorized by the current bishop of the Catholic Church's Diocese of Gary. The fervor over Ammons' claims took nearly everyone closest to the situation by surprise. I figured that we would get some type of uproar, that I would get an uproar from my own hometown, but I never imagined that it would go viral, said Ammons, who now lives in Indianapolis. I never thought it would do that. Ammons said, people have shown up at her home, bombarded her Facebook page, and falsely claimed they were her friends. She fielded requests for interviews from national media outlets such as CNN and the Dr. Oz show, as well as movie producers. But as of Wednesday afternoon, she only agreed to do an interview with Inside Edition. For Ammons, it hasn't all been good. She said she stopped looking at social media sites after reading negative comments. They can say whatever they want to say, she said. I'm fed up with the backlash. The Reverend Michael Maginot, who we featured on our show last night, also has granted a series of interviews, including the O'Reilly Factor. Maginot, priest at St. Stephen Martyr Parish in Merrillville, investigated the house and ultimately conducted a series of exorcisms on Ammons. And that's basically what's gone on. But it appears that Zach, our buddy from Ghost Adventures, has purchased the house. Father Ammons has gone on to say, I was kind of shocked that this is stirring as much interest as it is, he said. Gary Police Captain Charles Austin, who investigated Ammons' claim, said he expected notoriety and figured the situation would be made into a movie. I thought that because of my expertise in the field of law enforcement and the things I've done in my career and the things I've seen at this house that I've never seen before in my life, he said. But I didn't expect this kind of reaction, not on my life. Austin, who said he was initially skeptical but became a believer, told The Star he's been contacted by media outlets from 20 countries, including Australia, France, and the United Kingdom, and he's enjoying that brief taste of fame. But he said he wouldn't go back in that house unless required to do so for an investigation. We know that there's an evil in that house, and we know that evil is ever present, Austin said. Why go where evil possibly is? You have no idea what you may run into. Psychologists who evaluated Ammons and her children came to a different conclusion, though. They characterized her fixation on demons as being part of a delusional system and tried to teach her different ways of interpreting the children's behavior. Baggins of Ghost Adventures said he hasn't decided what he will do with the home once the purchase goes through, but it will likely involve research into the purported paranormal activity. It's not entertainment, he said. I really do have a passion for this stuff and the research aspect of this stuff. Charles Reed, the current homeowner and Ammons' former landlord, said media interest in the house has been unbelievable, so much so that the current tenant called Gary police to complain when reporters and photographers showed up on the yard. He said that the tenant declined offers of money and interview requests. She wants total privacy.
Wow.
Living in the wrong house for that. Wow.
But interesting. But on the good side,
yes,
the current tenant has Zach Baggins as their landlord. So there you go.
Yeah, you got that running for you.
You got that going for you.
Wow. Huh. You got to guess nothing's going on. I mean, just from hearing the story yesterday from Father Maginot, it would appear that it seemed that this family, if they were dealing with something evil, was dealing more of some kind of curse or attachment that was put onto them, is the way it sounded.
Mm-hmm.
And that the house seems to be cleared of whatever's gone on there.
Right.
But do demons, do evil forces leave a battle scar on that property? I don't know. Intriguing. Just out of curiosity, I'll throw this question to our guest. We'll start with Sean Kersingham. If you were asked to go into this home with the Ouija 2.0, would you go in there and try to communicate with whatever energy was in that house?
Absolutely.
How about you, Karen? Would you go in and do that?
Well, what I would do first is walk through there and just feel it out and just see what's going on with the people as well and talk to them first and then just feel the energy. And then, yeah, I would, but I wouldn't necessarily do it in the house. I could go in there, work with the energy, and then probably go outside and do it. I don't need to be in a space where there might be some kind of weird activity, although I could still communicate with them. And yeah, I would.
Wow. Tim, would you go in there and try to communicate with whatever's in that house?
I'd be curious enough to, yeah.
I think I'd stand across the street with a speaker and call out and say, hey, where are you in there? Yeah. That's about as close as I want to get.
Yeah,
Tim and I will go in.
Yeah, all right. You guys are my away team, the red shirts in my little Star Trek fantasy. So I'm sending you two down there to deal with this. I don't know that I'd mess with that stuff. That's where it starts getting wonky. But tonight we're talking about communicating with the other side. We're talking about bridging that chasm between here and what comes next, or perhaps what comes before. And as you guys are making this kind of connection, are you finding more and more messages coming through that seem to have powerful statements that are actually enlightening information, as opposed to just I'm a girl, it was 1969, I like the Beatles? What exactly are you getting through this device?
If I can interject that,
please.
Some of the things that we get are like, we'll ask if there's any other entities in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say yes, and we'll ask how many, and they'll give us like a number. Sometimes it's 5, sometimes it's 16. We ask if they're attached to anybody in particular, and one time it went through everybody in the room and said, like, this person had 3 people or 3 entities attached. This person had 6 entities attached at the time. We build off of the answers that we get. We ask if there are dark and light entities. They say both, and not necessarily. The dark doesn't mean that it's bad, and the light doesn't necessarily mean that it's good. So with every answer we get, we just get more questions. We write them down. We talk about them afterwards and say, hey, what does this mean? Do we want to pursue that the next time we do this?
So. Also, we get a lot of family members that have been deceased from everybody in the group that come through. And at that point, it gets emotional. And, I mean, we've had members in our group with fathers that have died, mothers that have died. One of the group members, her mom died. She never knew her whole life. And now, thanks to Karen, she started coming through the board, and they're actually building a relationship that they never had. And it's quite emotional. Tears have been shed at these sessions. So,
Karen, you talk about wearing down the energy of some of these spirits and loved ones that have crossed over. Should we continue to try to communicate, or should we let them, once we've had our say and made our peace, should we just release them to follow in their journey and maybe not feel that they're so trapped or needed by us?
Okay, I wouldn't use the word wear down the energy, and I know I implied that earlier. It's really wearing down. It's not wearing down. It's really just being, the energy gets a little overused. And so if you're doing it for many, many hours, that's overused. And so it wears you down, and thus it wears them down. It just breaks kind of the connection. So, no, we shouldn't keep going at it. I don't make these people come forward. They come forward on their own. Somebody comes in a circle, and I know what Shankar's talking about. It just all of a sudden came through. This is how it worked for me. Gave a message to my partner. then all of a sudden this energy came through, and I don't know anything about these people. I just met them for, you know, the first time. And I Shankar and I had just been corresponding, and that's why they finally came to my house. And, you know, I didn't know her mother was dead or anything of that nature. And then she comes through, and it was a very beautiful communication. And I won't share it because she's not here to share it herself. She wants to share it. But I will say that's what happens. I don't go and say, I want to speak to my dead grandmother. What happens is, if somebody comes into the place, they bring with them that energy of their lack of closure or their lack of wanting communication. And so people come, and they, you typically have a one or two times at the most, and they don't need to keep talking to them. And what happens is, too, and I find that when people die, a lot of them, they will stay on sometimes to watch over that family, in this case, watch over this lady that came to my house, to help them. And then they come to a time, too, where they're going to move on, and they even tell you that. And, or if they are only there for a moment in time, and they've already moved on, or when they sometimes pass over, they're not available at all to talk. So it's not that we can control that. It's really up to them. You can ask all the questions you want, but they may not come through and communicate with you. It's really a two-way street here.
All right, so we can't wear thin the invitation or the communication with these loved ones on the other side.
Absolutely not. They will choose. And they'll, you know, this good on this side doesn't necessarily mean they know so much more, but yet they are still evolving. So they are learning quicker than we probably are right now. That's what they do. They just keep evolving and learning and growing, and they have the opportunity to do that without the, you know, worries about work or making your paycheck or, you know, feeding the mouth at the table. They have time to do this work, if you want to call it work, or this evolution, or this growth, this play. They like to call it love, life, laugh, flow. They like to call use those kinds of words, and so they're doing that, and they're only going to come through if it's going to, you know, help. It's going to help these people, these loved ones. I'm talking about loved ones, though. Not earthbound spirits, not poltergeists, not that kind of activity. I'm talking about loved ones. They're going to come through to help and not to hinder, and also not to make you dependent on it. And a lot of times they'll come through just to give a message that they never got to give, or give you a chance to maybe say something you never got to say, because there's always healing involved when these closures kinds of sessions happen.
All right. What is the next step with this type of communication? It seems like we kind of hit a wall. You know, how do we take it to the next level? Do you ask them now to begin to manifest themselves and show themselves? How, you know, I don't know. I mean, where do you want to start with that now, Shankar?
First, I want to get solid, concrete evidence that Opta Ouija 2.0, that our K2 spikes and that our EVPs are absolute. We've caught EVPs. We've asked them to say something into our recorders, and they have. I've gotten a high five before. I've had my hand out to say, you know, can you touch it? And I felt a breeze go through my hand. And then it's spelled out on the board, high five, H-I-F-I-V-E. And after this, As Dead Realm research is progressing, we're always coming up with new ways and moving the technology forward. Our next project is an infinite video imager, and that's just taking scrying to 2014 level.
I'm sorry, what are you going to implement?
On a screen and try to get some images up on there, but we're still working on that. It's still in the works, so to speak. So.
And what did you refer to that as?
Infinite video imaging.
Now, is that similar to placing the video camera facing a TV screen and recording kind of that hall of mirrors?
Almost. It's I don't know if you've heard of the skull experiments. They happened in the UK in the
yes.
90s. And if you're familiar with scrying, where you're looking at a black glass and getting visions through that glass, well, we want to take those visions and put it up onto video, onto TV, and actually record it. And so it's, I don't want to get too much into it, but it's a video camera with two black mirrors where the image bounces off the first mirror, reflects itself off the second mirror, and that second mirror goes back into the viewfinder or the video screen of the camera, and it creates a sort of a glowing light. So that's what we're trying to work with right now. It's the skull experiments back in the 90s. They did it and were very successful with it. So I'm just trying to, you know, capitalize on what they did and see if we can come up with anything.
Very intriguing. Now, Karen, as you continue to work with them and you're going over the different successful techniques that you've used, I mean, is there more to continue in your journey? You know, 40 years of doing this, it seems like you would come to a point where there's not a whole lot left that could be new.
Absolutely incorrect. There's so much more I'm learning every day as I use this tool. And again, I'm talking about different levels of consciousness. I'm talking about different levels of beings that you can communicate with, as well as that want to communicate with us. I'm learning a lot more, again, about myself and relationship to life, and I want to help people as well learn that. So that's really the thrust of mine. I was never into the technology of it, although my other real business is all about technology, and Shankar's group knows that. It's like I was intrigued with this group because, first of all, they're very passionate about using the Ouija, and they wanted to learn more how to do it on, you know, kind of maybe more level I'm doing it, and that takes a lot of time. But because they're willing to combine their experience, and I've heard from their EVPs, they're really quite excellent. I was amazed that they get. So I was intrigued with that because I thought, you know, I'm thinking as I work with them and I work on their tool, their device, maybe some of my spirit beings will speak. But I got to tell you, the funniest thing that happened was my spirits I talk to are typically ethereal beings, angels, discarnate spirits that have never been born before. They're not of human kind. And they come through and they said to Shankar, they go, we really don't have a voice. We don't know if we can talk. I mean, basically, they're not going to probably do EVPs. So my spirit's a little different. So my goal is to really work with them and help them refine their techniques so they can get good communication and to do it in the best light, and for me to experiment with that with them. And I'm really intrigued with this new scrying device they're working on. So we hope to get together. The plan is about every couple of months and just continuous experiments. And this is another way that I can grow too and see how this works with the more technology and work on more experiments. But no, using old school Ouija, there's so much more you can always learn, always.
Have you had any kind of negative communication come through the board and the new system you've employed at all, Shankar, either the messages or the EVP?
No EVP. A couple before we met Karen, there were spirits that we would ask. One of the initial qualifying questions: are you a good spirit? And if it moved to no, we would be like, okay, you know, what makes you bad? Well, what's your name? And the more they realized that we weren't really scared and that we weren't really projecting any fear, they left. They just leave the board, and the planchette goes, stay still. So, yeah, they come through once in a while, and they leave when they see that. Now, after with Karen, it's been nothing but positive. I mean, she's taught us a technique to do before each session, a meditation technique, and we've been using that, and it's been nothing but just solid growth on the board, and it's been amazing since.
I want to know, in developing this type of communication as well, is this something that you plan on bringing out and making available for others to purchase, or is this simply just for you to continue to experiment and grow with? And are there places people can see your research and the kind of evidence and the kind of communication you're actually having?
Yeah, you know, you could see all our stuff. We're putting up on YouTube on Dead Realm channel. Do you want to say something, Andrea?
Our intention for this was never to market it as you know, a tangible product for the masses to buy. This is because we're a research group, and we use it as a tool, just like we use the digital recorder, just like we use the EMF detectors, just like we use the spirit box. It's something that we're trying to figure out about another side, and why, if this is a tool that's available to us, why wouldn't we use it, kind of thing. And so we made it high tech because we wanted to make sure that none of us, you know, we wanted to prove people wrong. Oh, you're pushing it. Oh, well, no, you're pushing it. We want to see, look, we have the EMF detector. It's in a neutral zone. There's nothing that should be setting this thing off. And something just answered us, and there was a spike, and we got an EVP to go with it. So it was more for research purposes, never to make money off of it. I'm a money-making kind of scheme.
And we'll open up phone lines if you have questions for our guests regarding their kind of communication. and the work that they're doing. 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. And pass that messages along. We'll let you talk with our guests and share any insights, thoughts, or curiosities about this. Are you helping others to make communication now? Or again, is this strictly just experimental phase still for your team?
I think it's strictly experimental at this point.
We've helped within our team so far, speaking with to our own loved ones we've lost. But that's just, you know, we want to verify what we're finding and be sure that what we're passing on is solid and good evidence before we offer it as something that is anything more than that. So we're strictly just trying to deal within ourselves right now.
Karen, people that are interested in understanding more about the Ouija and making communication, do you do mentoring with people to teach them the proper methods and methodology? I know you lay out a lot of information in your book, Spirits of Ouija, but are you available for mentorship, hired gun to teach people the proper and correct etiquette to protect yourselves and make communication?
That's a great question, Anthony, because I'm going to tell you, I'm getting a lot of contact with people asking that exact same question. And, you know, as you know, Dave, I just started talking about this to the public just a little over a year ago, as you know. And it's been quite a coming out party for me, I guess you could say, in many different levels. And I have such respect for the spirits on your side. It's like, it's just not a game. So I just like the sincerity of people. The reason why I hooked up with Shonker's group is because, you know, we corresponded for about a few months, and I really wanted to see where they were at with the whole thing. And then we started speaking on the phone, and I really felt the sincerity of what they're trying to do and with their device and with the, technology behind it. And I'm excited about that. But officially, I've not set up any kind of Ouija 101 school, although I've been asked this many times. What I do, though, is people do reach out to me a lot and write me emails, and they ask me some questions, and I'm more than happy to answer those because I think it's very important if you touch any kind of tool when you start going into the realm. It could be the tarot, it could be the I Ching, it could be the scry, the crystal ball, it could be any of those and more. It's important to understand how to use them. And I guess because of all the time I've been using them and I value what I've taught myself, it's like, yeah, I'm willing to share with people a little bit now, but to full-fledged offer myself to train, I'm not really comfortable with that. Yet, in my book, as you said, especially chapter 4, I really go into detail. And then people write me questions, and they ask, you know, and they give me updates, too, on how their sessions are going. Now, I do want to say I'm not an advocate for people going out and getting a Ouija and start using them. I'm not an advocate of people just going to use Ouija because I'm telling you about it. I'm just an advocate for the work I've done and to let you know that there's so many possibilities out there, and if you want to explore them, you can explore them through many different manners and methods. And I also use meditation. I use self-hypnosis. I use journaling. I use dreams recount. I use a lot of other techniques, and this is just one. So I want to make that real clear. This is not really to teach you all how to use the Ouija board, but if you're curious and interested, I do recommend reading my book. You can always reach out to me and send me an email, too, and I'd be more than happy to answer it.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue speaking with our guests for the evening. And if you're interested in finding more about Karen Dahlman, check out her website, KarenADahlman.com. There's a link for it right on darknessradio.com under the guests link. And if you go there within the next 24 hours and buy her books, The Spirit of Creativity or The Spirits of Ouija, you will save an immediate 25% and get an autographed copy of the book. Prices have already been adjusted right on the website for you. You can find our guest's book at Amazon.com for Hunting the Dead Realm, A Testimony and Guide to Capturing the Other Side with Mr. Shonker Singham. That information is also on our website with links to their Facebook page and Twitter account so that you can follow them as well. Just go to darknessradio.com, click on the guest tab to find all the guests for our show, links to them, and how to communicate and get back and forth with them as well. We're going to take a break. Before we do that, though, Tim, we've got some run of engagement passes for the new movie I, Frankenstein. Why don't you go ahead and lay a little knowledge on the listeners and tell them what they can get, Tim?
Well, Dave, their run of engagement passes for I, Frankenstein.
Excellent. But are they for any specific theater chain?
No. It just says run of engagement passes for I, Frankenstein.
Great.
Yeah.
So what do they have to do, and how do they get them?
They can't have won in the last 30 days. Promotions will mail out your passes.
The pass is good for you and a guest to go see I, Frankenstein.
For you and a guest. However, I think this is probably limited to people in Minnesota.
Right, of course. This is for Minnesota listeners to give us a call, and let's do that right now. How many do we have in there? Do we have enough for six callers?
That I'm not sure of.
All right, well, let's do this. Let's take the top four callers at 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855 here in Minnesota. If you'd like a pair of running of engagement passes to see I, Frankenstein, Tim will take that information from you right now. 651-989-5855. You cannot have won anything from our station in the last 30 days, and you must be a resident of Minnesota or in the general vicinity so you can come see the movie here in the theaters. Stay tuned. More Darkness Radio continues right after this.
But there's no denying.
In love with you, girl, is just like
the show. Darkness Radio is on the air. If you have questions for our guests, you can give us a call at 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. Let's talk a little bit about your background in investigating. Shankar, are you using at all this tool for paranormal investigations, taking them into homes? We mentioned at the beginning of this hour, would you take it into that home in Gary, Indiana, which claims to have been haunted by over 200 demons, and you had no problem jumping at the opportunity to go in and investigate and play with a tool in that kind of environment. But would you use this, and do you use it on current active locations?
Usually at people's houses, no. They, again, that stigma attached to Ouija is just too great. I don't even mention it to clients. It's just an unsaid thing. But there are a couple of locations where we do, I have taken the Ouija 2.0. One of them is the Graber House out in Pomona, where Darklands Paranormal actually runs the tour out there with Marco Santucci. He let us bring the board out there. He was very, very apprehensive about it too. And we took the board there, and we actually caught the spirit of a little boy that was there, and he's caught on video and on tape. It's up on our Dead Realm channel on YouTube. You can check it out there. And he came through. His name was Leo. He's a little 4-year-old kid that died early last century, and he's usually there playing with a little ball. But for the most part, no, we don't take the Ouija 2.0 out. It's just too fragile. It's a 40-year-old piano bench, and it's got a lot of electronics in it. We can't just bring it into locations and start using it. So we haven't really been using it. I'd like to more. There's a couple of places I'd like to take it to. One of them would be the Cecil Hotel in Los Angeles. I'm thinking about going there. That place is chock full of murders and suicides, endless death. I mean, Night Stalker Richard Ramirez had a victim there, Black Dahlia murder, countless suicides, and all of them have been women. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Lisa Lamb and that elevator video where they found her body in the water tank.
Yeah, actually, we covered that on our show on True Crime Tuesday about a month or two ago. Just a bizarre case with Eliza Lamb and her disappearance and appearing on video, acting very strangely in an elevator, stepping out of the elevator, doing some bizarre motions with her hands and appearing to be talking to someone and then vanishing 2 weeks later, they found her in a sealed water tank on the roof.
Correct, correct. The water tank was sealed with a padlock in. The coroners ruled her ruled it a suicide, but I don't know how the padlock got locked on the outside.
Right.
When we went there, and in fact, if you check all the victims that have died in that hotel, they've all been women.
Well, here's the weirdest connection, I thought, from this story. And I don't know if you've heard about this, Karen. I know you're out in the California area, but the Cecil Hotel down in Los Angeles, this Elisa Lam, when she went vanished, after they found her body, there was a tuberculosis outbreak in that area. And the name of the test kit that they use is LAM, ELISA, the exact name of the dead girl that they found in the water tank. And it's not that they...
I did not know about that. No, I was not aware of that.
And I thought, okay, well, maybe they named the kit that because they're trying to connect the deaths with these people to maybe what was getting to her. But no, that's the name of this kit, and it's been out there for a long time. So yeah, if you look up the LAM, ELISA kit, it's a tuberculosis test kit. And it was an outbreak right there by the Cecil Hotel that they were testing. It's just the stories that go on there are unnerving. And you mentioned the Black Dahlia case, which has been very popular on our radio on True Crime Tuesdays. And she was actually known to have frequented that hotel and had been there, they believe, prior to having vanished and been murdered.
That's crazy. I wrote that down and looked that up. But you remember you sent me to another haunted place in California. You remember that?
Yes. Yes, I did.
You sure did. So I've had my experience with the Ouija board in a haunted house. And in this place I went to, it definitely has a lot of spirits. It's been on all the shows.
Right. The David Omen House, which is on Cielo Drive, literally a few doors down from where the horrible Manson murders took place. And I had asked you and a mutual friend of ours to go in and investigate just to check these claims and see what was going on there. And you went in with the Ouija board. Now, this is the first time we've talked about this on air. Were you getting activity? Was this a real deal for you?
Oh, absolutely. Now, like I said, I always walk in first, sit down, and just come fill the place out. And David gave me just full rein with one of my partners who also is very in tune and psychically. And we walked around the whole house, and without him telling me anything, we knew exactly what rooms. We knew where the openings were, where I should say, where these entities and spirits come through. I could feel it. I felt nauseous. It was really crazy. And I thought, okay, this is the area right outside that space. I want to sit down with the Ouija board. This is why I will go into a space, but I want to feel it out first. If I felt there was anything that was going to be very, aggressive towards me, I would not. If I just felt more of a sickness. And the messages I got, I can understand why I felt that nausea and the sickness. I'm not going to give too much of that story away because it was really, really powerful. And it's actually in my new book. It's in the new book, but it's crazy because some of the spirits I spoke to will not leave until their message is out. And I know what their message is. And the message will probably never be portrayed the way they want it to be. But there are also a lot of other entities there, a lot of other energies, and I was filling them all, and I had to filter through them. And I just got really focused with my helpers on the other side, and we just focused on exactly who we were there to talk to. And so that's what I did, and it was really quite an experience. Although I've done quite a few other haunted places over the years, this was probably the one that had the most activity in it. The most activity I think I've ever experienced in one house.
Unbelievable. We have to take another break. When we come back, I'd like to hear about some of your more active investigations, Shankar, places that you and your team have gone that you feel truly live up to the hype of being an actual haunting. Stay tuned. More Darkness Radio continues right after this.
But I like it, and I know you
Welcome back to the show. This is Darkness Radio, your home for the best in paranormal talk radio. Five nights a week, Monday through Friday, 9 p.m. till midnight. You're listening to the podcast. You're closing in on the end of it. You don't know what you're going to do next. You need more Phil. You need more paranormal. Well, have we got it for you. All you need to do is go to darknessradio.com, click on the theater tab, and welcome to our screening room. There you're going to find interesting, quirky, and fun shows, documentaries, and shorts revolving around the paranormal. So grab your popcorn, dim the lights, sit back, relax, and enjoy. We've just added The Blitz Witch and Exorcists, The Unexplained. Mind over matter, telekinesis, the fifth dimension, and so many more are on our page. They're free, they're easy to watch, and they're set up for you to go view and enjoy right now. Again, go check it out at darknessradio.com. Click on the theater tab and begin your full immersive experience. All right, people want to know, I'm getting a lot of questions. Dave, would you use a Ouija board? They want to know if I would, in fact. I do. I use a Ouija board from time to time, usually to study my table because it's a little uneven.
Right.
And
yeah,
sometimes I use it to swat flies.
Oh, it's good for that.
Yeah.
And, wide base.
I've got a couple of collectible ones that I'm getting framed.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of really cool looking ones. And, you know, I've used them on a few occasions. We do experiments with them. And actually in Gettysburg, at the Phenomicon, which is coming up in April, I'm going to be doing a large-scale Ouija board experiment again with Jeff Belanger and Bob Murch. And this time, we're going to try to communicate with reincarnated aspects of our personalities. We're also going to do personal syncing with one another. It's called eye scrying. And I don't know if you've heard about this, Karen, eye scrying. It's pretty intriguing. Connecting with one another by staring into each other's eyes and making that connection and then using the Ouija board. So we're going to try a couple of different deals. I also plan on trying to get some insights from you to share with the guests there so we can try a bunch of fun stuff. But would I use a Ouija board? I do on occasion, but I always do it very carefully, very cautiously, and I try to make sure that what I'm doing is not something that's endangering anybody else that doesn't know what they're doing. So we like to have a little bit of fun, and actually the experiments we've done at most locations have very little to do with communicating with outside forces and doing more with trying to use our own abilities to pass on communication and messages to one another on either side of the room, or pass on messages and things that are in envelopes. So we've had a lot of fun with those type of experiments. We do have a couple of calls, guys. If you don't mind, let's grab these. Jeremy in Oceanside, California. Welcome to the show. What's your question?
Hi, I have a question. It's for the Orange County group.
Sure.
I watch a lot of the ghost shows on TV. I'm a big fan of that, and I was just curious on how I could get involved with those kind of being a part of one of those teams in my local area, maybe.
If you wanna shoot us an email, if you're on Facebook, go to facebook.com/deadrealmresearch. Just shoot me a message, shoot us a message, and we'll be glad to invite you along. We're always open to group. We always like when new people come tag along. We have some ground rules that you have to follow. But other than that, we're an open group, and if you want to tag along, you're more than welcome to.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling in, Jeremy. Let's grab Shannon, another California caller. Shannon, welcome to the show. What's your question?
Hi, thank you. First of all, I want to say go Vikings.
Go where? Also, I know. Our season died a month and a half ago.
Hey, next season. It's all about Zimmer.
Oh, yeah.
It's fine.
We can hope.
Right. I'm actually a part of the BRR crew, and Shankar. Hi, Carrie and Shankar. And Karen.
What's up, Shannon?
And Shankar and I have gone back about this issue about a few times. My question basically is for Karen. My dad killed himself, and we've tried to make contact with him, and we have tried to make contact with him, and we have contacted with him. But sometimes I think that people who kill themselves don't have the capacity to contact the living. So, Karen, do you think that people who kill themselves are off the radar, basically?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. We can never judge them because we don't really know what they're suffering and what they're going through. And so, and what I've learned too, I have communicated with those who have before, and I find that they're just learning to love, learning to be in that, and be in the light, and learning. And sometimes they do come back. In fact, there's been several books written about people who have taken their own lives who've come back. Wish I could think of the name right now. One of my friends was reading it. She showed it to me, and I was like, yeah, I read it real quickly.
Soul Survivor is an excellent book.
What was it called?
Soul Survivor.
Okay, yes, I've heard that one too. This thing is called, does this sound ring a bell to anybody? Billy Finger or something? Maybe I said the name wrong. I'll look it up. But this boy did kill himself, and he came back and spoke to his sister and really talked about what he was learning on the other side. I think the most important thing to do is never judge somebody when they take their life like that, because on the other side, they are not judged either. They are not judged either. They're, in fact, welcomed, and they're asked to do a review, as anybody else would be. We just can't put ourselves in their shoes. But, yeah, he may be able to come through. It requires a lot of healing. When you take your own life, it requires a lot of time to be able to communicate. But it can happen. I've experienced it.
And I'll tell you, Shannon, being out in California, two of the most unbelievable and impressive mediums I've ever met, well worth every penny spent. I've never heard one negative thing about them, Michael and Marty Perry. And you can find them at spiritart.com. Spiritart.com. They are a fantastic resource. Yeah. And people around the world can contact them because they can do it over the phone. They can do, I think, by Skype, different versions like that. But they are truly remarkable. If you want an unbelievable kind of contact and communication, I couldn't recommend anybody higher than that when it comes to mediumship. Thank you for calling in, Shannon, and being a part of the show with us as well. We got a little bit of time here left, and I'd like to know, Shankar, a little bit about some of the other locations that you've found that are really haunted and have lived up to, you know, the reality of the legend, if you will.
You know, most of the real hauntings, like the scary, creepy, chillies, orbs with your bare eyes, places have actually been private residences. So I can't really share too much about that. I don't even make videos about them too much, just because we have a confidentiality agreement with these people that we won't share it. But the places I would say that would be top three would be the Suicide Bridge in Pasadena. Multiple suicides, over 150 suicides. Lots of EVPs, lots of shadow people. Go there late at night, 12 o'clock. The Cecil Hotel, most definitely. It's creepy, the thickness. If you're a female, be careful. Shannon actually got attacked the first time we went there, and like she got nauseous, sort of breathing heavy, and then she just passed out. She came to a couple floors later. We got the heck out of there. We went back again a couple weeks later and caught a bunch of EVPs, including an entity named Ziggler, who tags all our videos with his name. Last and final place I would have to say would be Graber House in Pomona. It's been on what's that TV show it was on? My Ghost Story on Bio. There's an entity there called the Creeper that's in the Vat Room. Another great place. If you want those three, I think would be ideal. Again, that last place, the Graber House. We've caught a little boy bouncing his ball. Leo is in there. Go ahead, Andrea. All right. Andrea got flicked in the back. Alicia got slapped in the butt.
Yes.
Right?
Wow, but, Tim, you need to go there.
Boy, you aren't kidding.
That's
that little... sounds like my kind of action.
There you go. So you've got, I mean, those kind of places, that doesn't freak you out, though, when you get that kind of activity, that kind of aggressive nature.
Well, you know, there's an initial shock, like initial fear. And the real important thing is to get over that right away and find the amusement, find the funny side in it right away. Don't give in to that fear like, oh, my God, I just got touched, or I just felt a breeze go through me, or I got the chills. Try to get over that initial shock and go along with it. Amuse yourself with it. And you'll just find it happening more and more and more as you go. And yeah, you'll catch more stuff that way.
All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. And again, if you want more information, you can pick up his book at Amazon.com, Hunting the Dead Realm, a testimony and guide to capturing the other side. And that is Sean Kerr Singham. We want to thank his group for joining us here this evening and being a part of the show. Also, our good friend and very, very spiritual and popular speaker, Karen Dahlman. You could go check out her website, KarenADahlman.com. There's a link for it at DarknessRadio.com. Get copies of her books for 25% off. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new edition of the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio.